You're listening to How To 20-Something, the only podcast that helps both men and women navigate their 20s and learn how to adult across all aspects of their lives. We're going to be focusing on career, relationships, finances, fitness, nutrition, and all of the common challenges and obstacles a typical 20-something will face in this post-college life and what to do about it. I'm your host, Jess Diamond, and I am the CEO and founder of Jess Diamond Coaching, where I help young professionals get their shit together, gain their confidence, and own their life. No one prepares you for this adulting world, so allow me to help you feel like you are no longer a chicken running around with its head cut off, and that you actually know what the hell is going on and what your next step to take is. Welcome to How To 20-Something. Welcome back to How To 20-Something. Today's episode is going to dive deep into which supplements the average person should be taking on a regular basis. I'm going to share what those five supplements are and what each of them will do for you. But before I do that, I want to preface this episode with saying I'm not a doctor. This is just what I know from being in the health and wellness field. My advice to you would be to get a blood panel done and see if you're missing any of these key nutrients so you know what you should be supplementing with based on your unique body. You could do a minerals and metals test and general blood test. I recommend either going to your primary and asking, or if you're like me and you don't really have a primary physician, then you can take a test online, and by online I mean at home. I've personally used Dr. Cabral in the past, that is C-A-B-R-A-L, and it's an at-home test, so they send you a little kit, and you mail back your sample, and you wait for your results. Then you set up a call with one of their coaches who walks you through what every result means and what you can do about it. The downside is they're going to try and sell you their supplements, but I asked them, how could I do this on my own? How could I improve these levels naturally through nutrition? And they were able to provide that information to me as well. But regardless of what you do, I'm going to reiterate again to please consult a doctor or someone that's not me talking on a podcast before deciding to supplement with anything I'm about to tell you. And to also tell you to try to get most of your nutrients from whole foods. Some of the supplements I'm going to mention today are not really possible for that, but some of them are. So before you run to your nearest supplement shop, think about what you eat on a regular basis. And if it's not mostly whole foods, or you're not taking care of yourself, you're not getting adequate sunlight or movement, then start with changing that. And after being consistent, dive into what to supplement with, again, after speaking with your doctor or running labs. But let's get into it. The very first supplement that I think everyone should be taking, and for me, it's the holy grail of supplements, is magnesium. I tried my best to do some research on statistics since I know a majority of the population is deficient in magnesium, but I found varying numbers. So the NIH, or the National Institute of Health, published a study in 2018 that said nearly 75% of women do not meet the daily requirement of magnesium, and approximately 50% of Americans consume less than the estimated average requirement. A study done in France using 2,373 subjects between the ages of 4 and 82 found that 71.7% of men and 82.5% of women had inadequate magnesium intake. Now, you're probably thinking, Jess, this is not a research paper, and I'm going to stop listening if you're just giving me statistics. I won't be. But I'm here to back up with what I'm saying with evidence that if you're listening right now, you are probably low or deficient in magnesium. The problem is, most physicians aren't testing people's magnesium, and if they are, they mostly go through your blood, which only accounts for about 1% of the total magnesium in your body. The metals and minerals test that I did had me send in the root of my hair. Like, I cut underneath my ponytail, back of my hair, and sent that in, because that more clearly shows what's going on with the minerals in my body. So that's just something to keep in mind. The bright side is this is an easy fix. They say you can naturally increase your body's magnesium levels through foods. However, speaking from experience and experience only, I eat a primarily whole foods-based diet and my magnesium is still low, so I supplement with it. I take 400 milligrams every night right before bed, and the moment I started doing this, I noticed a difference in my sleep immediately, and more importantly, in how I felt when I woke up the next day. I believe I said this on another episode or two, but when I first started taking magnesium, I remember texting my mom and being like, you're not going to believe this, but I wake up and I feel awake, which I know sounds so ridiculous, but when you're deficient in magnesium, your sleep quality is not great, so you're not reaching the full REM, NREM, and deep sleep cycles that help restore your body's natural processes and leave you waking up feeling refreshed. So as a result, you're waking up tired, and you're reaching for your coffee the moment you get out of bed. I will say that since my schedule has changed and I do have to get up really early, I feel that way again, but I feel even worse if I forget to take my magnesium before bed. Plus, it helps me fall asleep faster because of its relaxer effect. The result of supplementing? Great sleep and energy the next day because it directly relates to the hormones that influence sleep. Magnesium also helps your brain relax. It reduces stress and anxiety because it helps regulate your body's stress response and promotes its overall relaxation. A very important thing to note is that magnesium, regardless of the kind that you're going to buy, which I'll get into which one is best for sleep health, is that it does act as a muscle relaxer, which politely translates to laxative. So you'll be very regular with your morning poops when you supplement with magnesium. If you are about to start supplementing with it, you're going to want to make sure the pill bottle says magnesium glycinate, as that type is well absorbed by your body and doesn't cause as much digestive discomfort, so you won't feel like you're going to shit your pants. Magnesium citrate, on the other hand, is directly a laxative since it draws water into your intestines and helps move everything along your digestive process. But those are the two main ones that I see on the shelves of stores, so just go with glycinate. Now, I already told you that I take 400 milligrams, and I've worked my way up to that amount, but the general person starting out should strive for 250 milligrams and just see how you feel. And the last thing that I'll say about magnesium is take it at night, within about 30 minutes of you wanting to be asleep. I made the mistake of taking it in the morning the very first time I went to use it and felt so groggy for the entire first half of my day. So please take it at night for the best results. But all right, supplement number two that the general population should be taking, especially in the winter months, even though I know we're approaching summertime now, but you should still take it, and that is vitamin D. I started supplementing with this one too, mainly because I grew up in South Florida where I was consistently exposed to strong sunlight and then moved up north. And even though North Carolina is considered the South, the sun just isn't as strong here, or as strong as what I'm used to. My hair doesn't get as light in the summer anymore, and my skin isn't as affected by the sun either, which is great for aging, but bad for my vitamin D absorption. Also, if you're tan or of Hispanic or Italian descent, then your body doesn't absorb as much vitamin D naturally either. But we all need adequate amounts of vitamin D as it plays so many roles in the body's natural functions. It is beneficial for the calcium absorption in your bones, and which is essential for maintaining strong and healthy bones, so they don't break. It also supports immune function, so your risk of respiratory infections like the common cold or the flu will be decreased, or the severity of them will be reduced. It's also a mood booster. You know what I'm talking about. When you spend time outside in the sunlight, how much better you feel afterwards. Well, vitamin D plays a direct role in your mood regulation and overall mental health. This is also why I just mentioned how important it is for people up north or anyone during the winter time to be taking vitamin D, because it reduces your chance of experiencing seasonal affective disorder or the wintertime blues. Vitamin D is also good for muscle development, strength, and health, which then goes back to helping keeping your bones strong because your muscle attaches directly to your bones. This doesn't really pertain to all you 20-somethings listening, but it is something to keep in mind as we age because, let's face it, we aren't getting any younger, so we need to be putting as many measures in place to take care of ourselves now and not suffer as much later. However, what I do want to warn you of is don't overconsume vitamin D. Simply take the recommended amount and still expose yourself to sunlight as often as you can. Taking vitamin D does not mean you never need to go outside again. It's just to help you out and provide other benefits to your body, mind, and overall health. It's a tool, especially when winter approaches or if you have a night shift job and don't get adequate sun exposure regularly. Honestly, it's one of the things I love about being self-employed. It's that I can go outside in the middle of the day for as long as I would like or as long as my schedule allows. But I also know that not all of you have that luxury, which is why vitamin D is going to help you out and is necessary for the general population to be supplementing with. especially because you've shifted from being outside as a kid and walking around college campus during the day to sitting under fluorescent lights in a tiny cubicle or on your couch if you're working from home. If you are limited to your time outside, then the next best option is to sit next to a window that has sunlight coming in, because that is still better than nothing. So, to recap so far, supplement number one, magnesium. Supplement number two, vitamin D. No specific order, but magnesium for sure is number one in my heart. Supplement number three is iron. You're going to see really quickly how all of these supplements support similar but extremely important functions in your body. And iron is right up there with magnesium and vitamin D. For those of you who are anemic, you already know that iron is very important. And with low levels, you're experiencing grogginess, weakness, dizziness, shortness of breath. Now, not everyone needs to supplement with iron, which is often found in the form of B12 supplements, because if you already have enough iron and then you supplement on top of it, you're putting yourself at risk for damaging your organs. This is why I started the episode with suggesting that you go get your levels tested and see where you're at and what your body is deficient in. But what's happening if you are low in iron is your body isn't able to move red blood cells quickly enough through your body, which means tissues in your body are not getting enough oxygen or as fast as it needs. And that's why you feel lightheaded when you stand up too quickly. This is also why if you are low in iron and start supplementing with it, you will experience an increase in energy levels. Iron is also good for brain development and function. Iron deficiency is typically paired with cognitive impairments like poor memory, reduced attention span, and impaired learning abilities. And all of this stems from that lack of oxygen moving through your body that's disrupting your normal functions. Iron is found to boost your immune system, since healthy blood cells help fight off pathogens, which is your body's process of fighting infections, and it just helps you maintain a clean bill of health. And lastly, iron is good for your physical performance and endurance. Again, looping back to blood being optimally pumped through your body and transporting the oxygen in your blood to its necessary locations. If you're pregnant or menstruating, so clearly to my females listening, you should really consider getting tested for iron deficiencies or anemia and supplement as needed, as your doctor tells you and advises. You can consume iron from whole foods, which is why I tell my females to eat red meat at least once a week, since we lose a lot of iron when we are menstruating. And red meat, such as beef, lamb, and pork, are food sources that are rich in iron and easily absorbed by the body. Chicken also has some iron, but it's not as good as red meat. And then there's also certain types of fish, like tuna, salmon, sardines, and shrimp. Organ meats, like kidneys and livers, will honestly be the absolute best for you, but they definitely don't taste very good, and they're not as convenient to come by. And then for my plant-based folks listening, or really anyone listening, you can get your iron from beans and legumes, grains if the label says fortified with iron, and then leafy green veggies like kale and spinach. A fun fact for you is you can actually increase your iron absorption by pairing any one of these plant-based foods with a source of vitamin C, like citrus fruits. But the reverse of that is also true, where you can inhibit your absorption of iron with other types of food, like coffee, which basically means don't consume them at the same time for optimal iron intake. But do consume any of the examples I just gave with citrus fruits to have optimal intake. All right, moving right along to supplement number four, creatine. Not to be confused with creatinine. I think I'm pronouncing that right. Creatinine? Well, I'm about to say it a couple times, so we'll see. It's usually what is listed on a blood test. So creatinine is a waste product that comes from digesting the protein in your food and normal breakdown of muscle tissue, and it's removed through your kidneys. So if you test above the normal levels on a blood test, that could be a sign of a kidney problem, like a blocked urinary tract. Basically, you don't want to have high creatinine levels. Creatine, on the other hand, everyone should be supplementing with, as you cannot get enough from food alone. Foods that do contain creatine, albeit small amounts, include red meat like beef or steak, chicken and turkey, fish like salmon and tuna, pork, and some nuts and seeds. This is all listed from highest to lowest amounts in the food sources, but I'm going to reiterate that the amount you get from food is not nearly enough of the amount your body needs and can benefit from, which I'll get into what those are. For starters, Creatine plays a crucial role in energy production. So think of creatine as helping all of the mitochondria in your cells perform exceedingly well. And if there's anything we learned from school, it's that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. So how does this translate to you and your performance? Well, because your body is operating optimally, you are able to have greater strength and power, so you can lift heavier, which also means you can build more muscle, which then means you'll decrease your overall body fat percentage, which means you'll increase your metabolism and look better. And then the other part of it is being able to generate more force during explosive movements. So while creatine is helping you lift more, it's also helping you grow your muscles when you're taking it while on a resistance training regimen. It also pulls water into your muscles, so your muscles will have a more full appearance, giving the look that you are carrying more muscle than you might actually be carrying. And my favorite thing about creatine is that it aids in recovery, so you won't feel as sore and for as long after an intense workout, because supplementing with creatine helps to reduce muscle inflammation and damage, good damage, that comes from exercising your muscles. And then on a not fitness related level, creatine promotes good brain health. Remember, it helps all the cells run at an optimal function, not just the cells in your muscles, but everywhere in your body. So cognitive function improves and you're protecting your brain from neurological diseases. Now, I will say there hasn't been a ton of research with the positive effects creatine has on the brain function, but creatine is becoming more readily available and more suggested by doctors, specifically with elderly patients, but it'll benefit you regardless of what age you are. Overall, creatine is considered to be safe to consume for most healthy individuals, and especially those who frequently strength train. You're going to want to work your way up to 5 grams of creatine monohydrate, so start with 2.5 grams for a few weeks, see how you feel, and then go ahead and increase it. Time of day doesn't really matter. Just take it daily at a time when you will be the most consistent. So if you're a morning gym goer, then take it right before or right after your workout, as that'll help you stay consistent. Similarly, if you're an evening gym goer, and if you're not a gym goer, then please go to the gym. It's good for you. You need it. I also want to warn you of one downfall of creatine, and this is what scares most women, myself included, from supplementing with it, and that is because of the pool of water it is bringing to your muscles to give them a more full appearance, you will overall be holding on to more water. More water means more weight. It does not mean fat, but it does mean you will see the scale go up about 3 to 5 pounds because of the water retention in your muscles. I wouldn't be doing you justice if I didn't tell you about that detail, and I know I have a habit of going on it, and then when I approach my time of the month and I'm bloated as a result, I go off of it because I no longer like it and my body dysmorphia is running my mind and it just all goes to shit. So my creatine just sits on my counter until I'm mentally ready to supplement with it again, even though I know it has so many benefits for my body, as I just explained to all of you. All right, so far we have talked about magnesium, vitamin D, iron, and creatine. The fifth and final supplement that you should be supplementing with is potassium. Potassium is an essential mineral and electrolyte that helps numerous different processes in your body. It is possible to get potassium through your diet, so again, get your levels tested before you add this into the rotation, but potassium helps regulate blood pressure by counteracting the effects of sodium and helping your blood vessels open up and hold on to water you're ingesting so it doesn't just go right through you and make you run to the bathroom to pee every 30 minutes. It is also associated with lowering your blood pressure levels, maintaining a normal heart rhythm, and supporting heart health. In addition, you know when you get a Charlie horse and people say, oh, you need to eat a banana? Well, it's because bananas are a great source of potassium, and it's really your body telling you you're dehydrated, and it will help properly distribute fluid through your body. Not to mention that Charlie horse will be helped because of potassium's role in muscle contraction and relaxation, which will help prevent muscle spasms and cramps. This is also another supplement or nutrient that promotes bone health and density, so you'll have strong bones and not brittle ones that break easily. And with this mineral, you will want to make sure your body actually needs it through supplementation, because too much can have serious health consequences like heart disturbances and kidney damage. So only take it if you're low. For example, I know I'm not low in potassium because I get it through Whole Foods, so I do not supplement with this one. But out of the five I just mentioned, I supplement with magnesium, vitamin D, and sometimes creatine. So you don't need all five, but I wanted to give you information on the top five supplements because you need good levels of each mineral or nutrient that I mentioned in your body for optimal functioning. All of our bodies are different and will process nutrients differently, meaning some will get flushed through our system and some will get processed properly. There are so many minerals you could look at supplementing with. Just get a minerals and metals test done before deciding on anything. Like, I know that I'm low in zinc, and I also add sodium to all of my water. So those are two more that I didn't mention or really talk about at all. Oh, and by the way, this is in a specific order, but not in the way of most important to least important. It's actually because it creates an acronym for you to easily remember what vitamins, minerals, or supplements you should be prioritizing or looking out for when getting lab tests done, and especially above things like green juices or detox cleanses or any other marketing scheme. That being said, the acronym is for you to always get your MAGDIC in. That is magnesium, vitamin D, iron, creatine, or calcium. I didn't talk about calcium, but I substituted creatine in instead for the C, and potassium, because potassium on the periodic table is K. I wish I could take credit for this acronym, but sadly, I cannot. I heard it so subtly on a Mind Pump podcast episode. I was listening to it and I ran with it because it flew under everyone's radar and it just makes so much sense. I added the magnesium part, but Justin from Mind Pump said, get your dick in every day. So get your dick in plus magnesium. And the last thing that I want to say, or I guess remind you of, because I said at the beginning of this episode and throughout it, is to try to get what you can naturally, like through whole foods and sunlight and regular exercise and good sleep. These are just to help you with what you're lagging to improve your body's overall function. But this does conclude another episode of How To 20-something. I hope I made you smile at the end with my acronym. If you liked what you heard or if you learned something new, then please share it on social media or with a friend or a family member. Give me a good rating, subscribe to stay up to date with every new episode, and I can't wait to be in your headphones again next week with another brand new one.